Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquenceonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And he is somewhere over the American Southeast. Dr. Troy is en route back from New Orleans to Charleston, South Carolina. So we didn't want to risk him calling in from the airplane, which I'm not even sure you can do. You can hear the show anywhere in the world, but I don't know if you can call in from anywhere in the world. Hey, the name of the show, The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand, Toys R Us, were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you in part by XDI.com, X-RayDeltaIndia.com, XDI, freaking awesome. The Chili Challenge, just again, best event I've ever been to. Start planning now for coming out to the Del Mar racetrack next August. But in the meantime, hey, you got to send out those statements, and XDI focus exclusively on the creation and delivery of credit union member documents, notices, letters, statements, tax forms, loan coupons, and everything else in a sophisticated proprietary document factory that's geared to add value, reduce cost, and improve member communication efficiency. You've got to send out those statements. XDI can show you how to do it elegantly and efficiently. The name of the episode today, Toys R Us Until They Were Not. 69-year-old Toys R Us was once the just, who didn't want to go to Toys R Us? I did. But hello, Walmart. Hello, Amazon. And as it fought to stay relevant, Toys R Us amassed $5 billion in debt. And that came from slashing prices, signing major exclusive licensing deals with toy makers, and buying up other toy giants, F.E.O. Schwartz and KB Toys, who were on the same generational trajectory towards a touch of irrelevancy, perhaps. And of course, this past week, Toys R Us filed for bankruptcy. And I'm telling you, folks, there is a generational moment of inflection occurring. If you don't believe me, you know, you can ask the giraffe. Well, too bad. You may not be able to be a Toys R Us kid much longer. I guess they're going to try to take the moment of bankruptcy to probably close a lot of their stores and reimagine some of their stores. I think they have to. I will tell you, the last time I went into a Toys R Us, not a great experience. So we're going to talk about that on the show today. And of course, I'm telling you, just look around. Listen, I have the benefit of doing another show on Thursday that we do live from the New Braunfels Christian Academy and being around a generation who probably never went to Toys R Us, or if they did, they were too small to remember. I'm just reminded, you know, every week, really every day with a teenager in the house, just how completely different everything is. We've been talking about it on this show for a long, long time. Before we get into the Toys R Us stuff, I got to share, and something else that was interesting, I noticed I was just scrolling through the Twitter feed today, and two credit unions, I don't remember the name, I think one was Visions up in New York, and there was another one. They were both, I guess the start of fall, it's like zoo season. They were offering like discounted tickets to the local zoos, and in both cases, they had a giraffe in the Twitter picture. I was like, wow, the giraffe already got another gig. And so I don't know, maybe the giraffe is going to be okay. But Toys R Us is finding out that history is, you can change with it, or you can get changed by it. Speaking of words that have H-I-S in them, our good buddies at CUNA Mutual this morning, a little interesting tweet talking about asking a question, are we in the middle of a, cultural gap? You know, I like to talk about generational gaps because those do occur, but this was a cultural generational gap. And they've got some data here from 2013, share of county residents who are Hispanic. As a brown person, I literally have no idea what that means. I mean, I literally have no idea what that means. And my point in bringing this up is very simply this: age trumps ethnicity in the world of banking, which is ostensibly what CUNA Mutual is in business to do, to help its credit unions find better ways to intentionally engage their audience. And I never understood all of this focus on, you know, that people want the same things. You know, your risk tolerance goes down as you get older. You have to borrow money for stuff when you're younger, and it really doesn't matter, you know, what color you are. Age trumps ethnicity in the world of banking. And trust me on this one, we've talked about that for a long time, too. I'll never forget it was an Alabama credit union conference, Alabama League conference, but it was held at the that Opryland Hotel in Nashville. Beautiful, beautiful place. And of course, I did my usual wowing of the audience with my award-winning Generations presentation. And they were so excited. The organizers invited me. They were so excited about this. They had a breakout session, marketing to Hispanics. Oh, Jason, you've got to come see this. You're going to love this. So I went over, and they wanted me to come up to the front of the room. And that's 60 people in the little breakout session. And it was a hot topic back in 2005 or 2006, that time period. They wanted to show the audience what one credit union in South Carolina had done to celebrate, I guess we're in it right now. Is it Hispanic Heritage Month? I don't even know. The studio audience doesn't know. I have no idea, but I think it is. I think it is. And so they wanted me to come up and wear a sombrero and hold a soccer ball. Okay, so it was like, not no, but heck no. And they couldn't believe that I didn't want to have my picture in the Credit Union Times wearing a sombrero and a soccer ball. I don't know. All of that stuff is totally lost on me. And I'm telling you, if you don't want to end up like Toys R Us, you need to think about what kind of experience your clients, customers, and members are having when they do come to your physical imprint, to your brand beacon, and you better figure that out pretty quick. But like I said, history is, you can change with it, or you can get changed by it. And if you don't believe me, go ask the giraffe. We'll be right back after this. Having a little fun with one of my favorite Elton John songs, Rocket Man. Listen, folks, history is. So let me tell you some history I can remember. Back in 1990, when we were getting ready to go to war with Iraq, and everyone told us, man, Iraq, fourth largest army in the world, they're just going to roll over the Americans. These American kids been playing video games all their life. They're not going to know. Well, the only people who did not share that sentiment were the men and women of the United States military in 1990. And then, of course, in 1991, when the war started and the Iraqi army figured out that the Americans had perfected GPS and laser-guided munitions, and that the main battle tank, the M1 Abrams, you could put a high-velocity, high-explosive round through a window in a dust storm going 50 miles per hour, fired by a young American who grew up playing video video games, maybe even bought at Toys R Us. That war was over pretty quickly, and that's exactly what I think would happen if we ever got into a throwdown with the North Koreans. And that's just my opinion, again, based upon my historical perspective. And I really think that that's how that's going to go down. But you're having a little fun with the Rocket Man. That was one of my Elton John songs back in the day. And of course, Seal, a little cover of Time Keeps on Slipping, Fly Like an Eagle into the Future. All right. Hey, let's talk about this Toys R Us thing. We had the folks on from Newground the other day, a couple weeks ago. You know, they would have been, and I will ask them. We'll have time to ask them at some point in the future. You know, if the guys from Toys R Us called you in, and if you're listening, guys from Toys R Us, you probably should. How would you reimagine those stores? Maybe they would just be gigantic, you know, play places. You could go in there and just play with all the toys. When I was a kid, around November, this is before Black Friday, like ADHD and gluten-free are all things that have been invented in the past 15, 20 years. I'd never heard of those things when I was young. And so around you know, November time frame, my mom would pack us into the wood-paneled station wagon, and we'd go over to Walsham Road to the Toys R Us, and we'd be so excited. And my mother would announce, "We're just getting ideas for Christmas." And it was great fun. And maybe we even score a trip to Pizza Hut afterwards or Baskin Robbins. It was an experience to go look at all the toys. Well, the last time I went to a Toys R Us down at the Forum in Universal City down the road from here, the store was filthy. I did not want to put my only child, my beloved son, into those filthy blue shopping cart things they had. I did not want him on the floor playing with the toys because I did not want him to contract some kind of disease and bacteria buried in the dirt on the floor. The employees were just not helpful. And I realized I never wanted to go there again. And we were there looking for, this goes way back, it was a show on Disney or some one of the cartoon networks called The Koala Brothers. And my son wanted the airplane that the Koala Brothers flew around. And I was like, well, they don't have it here, and we're definitely not going to go to other Toys R Us looking for it. And I went home and I ordered on eBay. And it was there, you know, in a few days. And now, of course, pretty much anything you can find at Toys R Us, you can go down the road and pick up at Walmart if you want to be in another equally dirty store with disinterested and unknowledgeable employees. If you're smart, you do what I do. You just buy your big ticket items at Walmart and you have a, you know, you just pick it up. You don't have to actually go in there and be amongst the Walmartians. You just go pick up your stuff and they bring it right to the counter or they bring it out to your car. Very, very efficient. And then you go, well, that's what did in Toys R Us. It stopped being an experience. It stopped being someplace you wanted to go. It became a chore to go. There was nothing unique about it. The toy section at Walmart was just like the toy section at Toys R Us. And then they bought up KB Toys and FAO Schwartz. And there was just nothing about it that was – it was nothing that compelled you to say, I want to go to Toys R Us because I can do this when it's – well, I can also do this on Amazon and have that item delivered here in 2 days on Amazon Prime. And so I don't know if Toys R Us can recover from this. Hey, I said 3 or 4 years ago that I thought Best Buy was in huge trouble, and they're still around. And I guess Toys R Us is still going to be here for the Christmas season, but they are in a moment of inflection, and we are in a historical moment of inflection. You've heard us talk about it on the show many times. At the end of four American generations, it has been consistent since the first people who called themselves Englishmen landed at Plymouth Rock or at Jamestown. When you use, you know, those generational benchmarks, you know, 2020, you know, after every four generations, there is a major moment of cultural, political, sometimes military inflection. And then things change dramatically. Things are changing dramatically. And again, if you don't believe me, ask the giraffe. All right, Toys R Us had a 69-year run, which isn't bad, by the way. But do you think they'll be here 69 years from now? I mean, we are witnessing amazing generational changes. And our perspective has to start with how do we make our brand relevant, not for the people right now, that might be wanting to go to the toy store, but for the young little babies who don't even know what a toy store is. Because that's how you stay relevant. You design things for three or four generations back and anticipate what they're going to want. I'm sure if I really wanted to, I could go to Toys R Us today and get something, but I'm not going to. And apparently a lot of people aren't either. History is. You can change with it, or you can get changed by it. Until next we speak, my name is Jason Dyes, and I'll talk to you all next week. Take care.
The end of the MFR, folks.